The Pentagon Force Protection Agency is the proponent for security and access for many facilities in the D.C. area, and they have developed a system which is in place at the Mark Center in Arlington, Virginia. It is not yet turned on, but they have gone through phase one, which is the enrollments of the workforce population, several thousand. It uses the DoD Common Access Card, and the application is when you come to work, you would put your CAT card down on a little entry turnstile, a little slot, and then you have a choice of either putting your index finger down or looking straight ahead at an iris scanner. And in about 6 seconds, the system validates a couple things. That number one, your biometric, your fingerprint, matches what's on the card, and then it matches to the database. It raises the security posture beyond what a normal swipe card would do. So they've got that in place at the Mark Center. I believe they're getting ready to turn it on very soon. And then the next building that this will be applied to is the Pentagon. And once that is up and operating, I think there's an average of 25,000 people a day that work in the Pentagon. This will be a shining example, and it will become an accepted means to for further projects within the department.
You also mentioned that physical access is more than just entering the building. It could be when you're in the building, and then how that's used to ensure that, one, people get out if there's a problem, or two, the people use a kind of a record, an audit trail of where you've been in the building. Is biometrics coming there, or is that a little further off?
I think it's crawl, walk, run. I think we demonstrate general access, that biometrics for the main access to the building works. It's not slower. In fact, it's faster. It gives every employee a greater sense of security that only cleared individuals are in the building. And then if you look a little farther, those individuals that work in those secure areas, a biometric could then be used to unlock a door into a secure area. At United States Southern Command, SOUTHCOM, which is a combatant command in Miami, they built a brand new headquarters facility about 2 years ago. They built biometrics in for all levels of access. Several thousand of their employees every day come to work, and they give up a fingerprint or an iris to get into the building. And then if they work in one of those higher security areas you mentioned, they are further giving up a biometric, and that particular physical access control system either says yes or no, you are allowed in, you're on the roster, or no. So it really helps out when you think about it. If I look like you and I have your card and I have your password, I can get into a building and I can probably get into an IT system. Using a biometric will greatly reduce the ability of people with bad intent from being able to breach those.
Where do you see biometrics going from a business function? Where's the physical access, I think, is a great example, because that's a need that people can recognize. Do you see maybe another couple areas where, from a business standpoint, where biometrics could really add some value?
In the whole area of identity assurance, there are so many things right now that we're looking at. The healthcare community within the Department of Defense, both the TRICARE and also the Veterans Administration, using biometrics to support the current HIPAA requirements for carefully allowed access to very, very personal information. The Office of the Secretary of Defense TRICARE Management Activity has approached us, and they are very interested in looking at biometrics, perhaps in a pilot or a demonstration capability, to be a technology applied from the point that a service member is wounded in a forward area through their triage and evacuation, so that there is absolute certainty that the records that sometimes are just electronically transmitted from theater to a rear area like a hospital, like a Walter Reed, match the person. I see that as an application. I also see in the greater hospital arena access to some of those schedule drug enforcement schedule narcotics they're in the safe. Only the certain pharmacists, not all pharmacists, but only one or two people have access. A biometric could certainly add another level of security for something that could be very pilferable.
You just described several different business functions. You also talked about identity authentication study you guys are working on that also focuses on physical access control a little bit. Give me a sense of what that study is looking at, and how's it going to work, and what's the end goal you're looking at?
Biometrics is not the mission. Biometrics enables other missions, a little phrase we use around the community. There has to be a study to determine the cost-benefit ratio for doing this. There's a cost to implementing biometrics in terms of the capital investment, the sustainment costs, the cost in terms of time. We mentioned earlier the throughput rates that a large base has to have in consideration when they have to move, 10,000 people through the gate by 8 a.m. every morning. So our study is looking to examine which identity-enabling authentication systems are supported by baseline rate data sets in the context of access control. There's really four. Name-based checks, which is the standard right now. A PKI-enabled check, and there's some use of that in select installations now. Biometrics, or a token. And what we hope this study will do is to show a cost-benefit analysis that will allow commands and organizations to develop and support a justifiable, risk-oriented investment decision, since we know our budgets are being reduced. Biometrics may not be the best thing for a small installation or a big installation. It is a technology that is best applied when it is taken in a scalable format.
Now, are you guys just looking at current government best practices, or some industry, academia? Are you guys reaching out more broadly?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, our broad area announcement on FedBizOp, we're seeking input from industry, academia. We know in some industries they're already doing it. Tell us your best story. Let the government learn from lessons learned from industry so we don't have to reinvest limited capital.
And from a time frame standpoint, generally speaking, are you looking at getting this study done this summer and then putting out maybe a white paper for those installation commanders to say, oh, now I have a better idea of what path maybe I want to go down?
Absolutely. We believe that the study should be done by October of this year.